From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, May 20th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listener support and by Modern Pest Services, committed to taking an intelligent approach to pest control. Learn more at modernpest.com. And by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
The CDC says Maine today saw the biggest single-day spike of 78 cases of COVID-19, bringing the total number to 1,819. The number of deaths remains at 73. The State Department of Corrections is awaiting test results from more than 120 prisoners and 60 staff at the Maine Correctional Center in Windham following the first confirmed case of a prisoner with COVID-19 in Maine. Corrections Commissioner Randy Liberty says the man in his 20s has mild symptoms and has not required hospitalization but is in isolation. As a precaution, all 500 remaining prisoners and staff at the facility are also being tested, and those who may have been exposed to the virus are being quarantined for 14 days.
Right now, they're quarantined in their cells, and they're separated, so they're just one individual per cell. If the contagion expands, we can expand into larger areas. Much as you've seen happen nationally in gymnasiums and that sort of thing, where they're spread out 20 feet apart to prevent cross-contamination.
Liberty says the state's been fortunate to have gone 3 months without a prisoner testing positive until now. The DOC has taken steps to try to limit transmission of the virus, including ending visits, requiring staff to undergo daily medical tests, and implementing enhanced cleaning practices and social distancing. And Maine Senator Susan Collins was joined by colleagues from both parties in introducing legislation that would provide $500 billion in aid to states and municipalities. Mel Leary has more.
In addition to the new infusion of cash, the bipartisan bill would also give states more flexibility in spending the money they were allocated under the CARES Act last month. Collins urged that the Senate pass the bill this week.
Congress has a tremendous responsibility to help mitigate the impact of this crisis on our states and our local communities.
Maine would receive at least $2 billion under the proposal, including $300 million for the counties and $330 million for municipalities. The state has already received some federal aid, but cannot use that money to offset the loss of state revenues. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
In weather tonight, clear skies with lows in the 30s and 40s. Tomorrow, sunny with highs in the high 60s to the 70s. The state of Maine has seen one of the country's lowest rates of hospitalization and mortality from COVID-19, but its economy relies heavily on summer visitors, many from states where the virus is still rampant. In Old Orchard Beach, where tourism is king, businesses are doing everything they can to make sure summer isn't over before it's begun. Fred Bever has more.
In Old Orchard Beach, it's spruce-up time for the fry shacks and pizza parlors, the roller coasters and the tilt-a-whirl, and for the town's string of low-rise hotels. At the Waves Oceanfront Resort, workers like Raxme Yee and owner Ken Lafayette also have something else to worry about, the coronavirus.
So we're keeping some of the pools closed. We're not opening all our pools because...
But the pools are the safest thing. I mean, look at all those chemicals. There's no way any...
It's about the social distancing on the pool deck.
Well, just, you know, so you can't sit on the deck and just only swim in and out.
It's one of many new COVID-19 era concepts that Maine's tourism leaders have to contend with. In March, Lafayette secured a big loan for a new property that was based on its long history of repeat customers from Canada. But now, President Trump sealed the border indefinitely. And on top of that, Governor Janet Mills says until at least July, visitors must quarantine themselves for 14 days in Maine before they can stay in a local lodging. Lafayette says he's lost bookings worth at least $500,000.
So I almost feel like a failure. I know it's, my brother will tell me it's not my fault. My wife tells me it's not my fault. But all the optics and gauges that I use, it's just demoralizing.
And not just for him, but also the 80-plus seasonal workers he'd planned for, whose job prospects are now uncertain. At the same time, Paul Golder, the manager of the iconic Palace Playland Amusement Park, says he's uncertain about whether he'll be able to get the staff he needs this season. That's because he depends on dozens of young workers from Eastern Europe who usually summer here under an exchange visa called J-1.
They're coming from overseas, and every country in the world right now is dealing with this on their own timeline.
Golder says most of this year's planned 80-plus exchange workers at least got needed interviews done.
But then you get into the conversation of, you know, when the borders are going to reopen, when these kids do come over, where are they going to quarantine? Can they come from whatever point of entry to Old Orchard and quarantine? Do they have to quarantine wherever they land?
And then there's the vexing question of just how much work there will or can be, given the need to keep customers and employees safe in the park. Touchless payment tech may be deployed, Golder says, foot traffic more tightly controlled, hours more limited, and there will be new strategies to provide social distance on rides that are suited to it, such as the carousel.
We could easily mark off which horses or animals we'd have to keep closed, and you could do that with tape or have the operator instruct people where to sit.
And while many Old Orchard business people say they depend on the theme park to deliver downtown foot traffic and hungry kids, Golder says the true draw that he depends on is the beach itself. And right now, the beach is partially closed under a walking-only order that bars sitting or sunbathing and requires social distancing. Local officials imposed the policy last week. That drew protesters to the shore on Sunday, including local inn owner Peter Guidi.
If you want to socially distance, socially distance. But if you want to come down and meet a girl and fall in love in Old Orchard Beach and get married, that's good too, because that's the way we live around here.
Guidi says the town's fire chief and manager acted undemocratically, imposing the policy without a vote by elected officials or residents. Town manager Larry Mead says that with the weather warming, the restriction is necessary to make sure the beach isn't overwhelmed by visitors from areas where beaches remain closed. Mead is hopeful that by June, the beach can really open up in tandem with others on the East Coast.
The good news is, if when you're outside, all reports seem to indicate that the virus doesn't transmit as readily. And the other good news is that people, by and large, seem to be trying to socially distance sort of as a matter of course. Hopefully going forward this summer, that will help out on the beach.
Meantime, the town and its businesses are experimenting together on some new tactics. Last week, part of the main drag was closed, for instance, to allow pedestrians more room to stand in socially distanced lines at popular takeout restaurants, such as Pier Fries. Co-owners Tiffany and Alan Buat say the business has supported them well over the years and allowed them to take winters off. But they opened late this year, and they're limiting their hours and their menu.
We're sticking with, you know, French fries, which is our moneymaker, and not selling anything else, just to keep the line moving, you know, to make sure that our customers are maintaining their social distance.
They have their workers strictly segregating duties, one to work the cash register, one to hand out the fries and condiments, and one to police the line. So their payroll is actually growing. And the Buats are confident that the business can survive and that it might even be helped by bad news in other communities. Cancellations of big events such as the Yarmouth Clam Festival and Rockland's Lobster Fest, or the decision by nearby Saco's Funtime Splashtown Amusement Park not to open this summer.
If we're able to do this properly and keep open, this is going to be where people are going to want to come. Mm-hmm. This really comes down to not any place else to go.
Right.
So, you know, the revenues won't be there and whatnot, of course, but like Tiffany said, we're gonna be okay,
yeah.
You know, be okay. Hopefully still have the winter off.
Yes, hopefully.
Other business owners in Old Orchard Beach are also cautiously optimistic. One even thinks this could be the town's best summer ever. if, that is, the state of Maine finds a way to let the tourists back in. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that story is part of our series, Deep Dive Coronavirus. You can find the whole series at mainepublic.org/coronavirus. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. I'm Nora Flaherty.